Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am Jordan Patswold. Once a month, we get the opportunity to talk with representatives from the Sunrise Health Region on a variety of different topics. And well, this one comes along every year when it gets colder. And back at it once again, joining us in studio to talk about the influenza immunization program within Sunrise Health Region, we have Dr. Ashok Chetri, Medical Health Officer, as well as Edith Halleck, Supervisor of Public Health Nursing. Great to have both of you here and joining us to talk about the flu vaccine. In other words, of course, Edith, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And also Dr. Chetri, it's great to have you here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know certainly from previous interviews that I have done in regards to this topic, the value of getting and keeping up with the flu shot. And so I'm going to be throwing some questions your way, I guess, or questions that when I have discussions with other people, they're usually bringing up this, oh, really? You get the flu shot? And I'm like, well, yeah. And they come up with a lot of questions, and I try and remember the answers I've learned from previous interviews that I have done, but obviously sometimes I forget. So I'm looking forward to reacquainting myself with some of the real good reasons why it is so important. And I know right off the top, I'm not sure who wants to take this one, but people, they hear about the flu shot vaccine and they're like, well, why? It's just the flu. And in previous years, I've gotten the flu, even after getting the flu vaccine. What's the big idea?
Okay, well, first let's talk about, we'll address those questions. You have lots there, so we'll address them maybe one at a time.
Yeah, no problem.
So flu is a respiratory infection, and it's very contagious. So it's not to be mistaken with the stomach flu or getting the common cold, those kinds of things. And it is spread through sneezing, coughing, or having direct or indirect contact with secretions of somebody who is sick. And we can certainly all, we run the risk of spreading the flu because we're infectious probably before we even know that we're infectious for a day before. And then when you do feel sick, you probably are infectious for at least another 4 or 5 days after that. So the reason we like to talk this time of year about flu is that publicly funded flu clinics will be opening on October the 23rd, and people are eligible for the flu vaccine if you're over 6 months of age. So that's an important thing. But why flu is really important, or why it is such a big deal, is because influenza is a... Well, it's a cost to the healthcare system, as well as it's very difficult and can be very serious for most people. So influenza and pneumonia are ranked among the top 10 leading causes of death in Canada.
Oh, wow.
And it continues to cause death among vulnerable people in our society. For example, people who are really young, for people who are over 65, or people with chronic disease, and or people with weakened immune systems or that are actually the people who are the most vulnerable to influenza, and it can be a serious disease.
What are the numbers, I guess, suggest in terms of, I know these serious cases, like you alluded to, for some of these people with chronic conditions or more serious diseases, often because of those conditions, they can't even get the vaccine. And that's why it's important everyone gets vaccinated, to help out those others who can't get the vaccine for other factors.
Oh, for sure. You know, and I think that they say in Canada itself that there's over 12,000 people who are actually hospitalized because of influenza, and it would result probably in about 3,500 deaths every year in Canada.
Wow.
In Saskatchewan last year, in the 2016-2017 flu year, I think there was 21 severe influenza cases, and that was what would be caused somebody to be admitted to the intensive care unit.
Wow.
And out of those, there was possibly 4 deaths that were related to flu. So the important thing is to know is that, you know, even we can all be carriers of the influenza and pass it on to other people who may, like you said, who are much more vulnerable and have serious risks. And we spread that before we even know it. So people say, well, I never get sick, or I need to have the flu. I don't get the flu vaccine. But the point is, all of us have people who are vulnerable in our lives. So you either know somebody, you know, who has small children, or somebody who has. So you yourself, as a healthy, well individual, maybe don't get really incredibly sick. But you have, if you pass that on to somebody else, then, you know, it affects other loved ones in your life.
Well, and some people I know throw it out there, well, I never get sick. Why should I even bother with it? What's the right way to, I guess, frame the rebuttal, if you will, to those that just claim that, hey, I don't get sick. I don't need this.
Yeah, well, it's good that they're fortunate, but you know, the flu, you maybe don't get sick and it maybe doesn't make you very, very sick, but you actually have the ability, even if you are carrying the disease, to pass it on to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so that's why getting the flu shot is important, because it eliminates you as a carrier.
Now, I've heard it also again, over the years, I actually get that flu shot while I end up getting sick. Is that possible, or what exactly is happening there?
Well, there are lots of things to it. You know, first of all, we have to understand that in this season, or most of this kind of season, we have over 200 viruses circulating at this point of time. And for example, rhinovirus, enterovirus, parainfluenza virus, RSV. So these are not the influenza virus, and these are actually capable of giving you kind of similar symptom that influenza gives. So then it's important to understand that there are lots other factors playing in the role, and influenza vaccine doesn't protect those kind of viruses. And once you got your immunization, it's going to take about 2 weeks to get protected from the influenza. So it could be at that point of time you may be infected in influenza, but that at the time, you know, there is no protection yet. And then there could be other viruses that you got it. And I just want to add some more thing to that. Already Edith talked about, you know, not all the people who has influenza would have a symptom. So even without having symptom, if you are infected one day before having symptom, you can still pass the infection to others without knowing that. You know, for example, if you go to office today feeling completely fine and spreading your virus to your colleague or at your home, and then you go back home and you feel like you were hit by the truck, you know, so you got high fever at time there, and then you got so muscle pain, so you know, those kind of things.
Already that day before, you might have been passing it along.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, and I know too, some people's rebuttal will also be, well, if I am sick, why not just go straight to the doctor at that point? Don't they have antibiotics for me that they can prescribe when I do get sick? What's going on in that regard?
So as you know, influenza is a virus, you know, so antibiotic is antibacterial. So there is no way that antibacterial will have any effect on the viruses. And there actually, there is anti-influenza medication, which we call Tamiflu. That also can be given during the early courses of the influenza.
Well, again, I remember going to the doctor. It's sometimes the most frustrating thing is you get there and then you hear the words that, well, no, actually, I can't give you an antibiotic because it's just not going to do anything. So it can be very frustrating just because, hey, that's the kind of virus someone is encountering. So why do we need a vaccine every year? Why isn't this like some of the other vaccinations where I get it once and then I'm covered for a 5 to 10 year span? Why so important to keep up with it every single year?
Yeah, that's true. It's in fact very interesting point here, you know. So I would say influenza is pretty nasty one. It has capacity to change year to year. Sometimes it changes by little, sometimes it changes drastically. So based on the changes, there is a group from WHO, World Health Organization, who sits down and then, what kind of viruses, what kind of strain might be circulating next year. So then that's how the vaccine production comes from. So this year we have four strains that is covering for influenza, 2As and 2Bs.
Mm-hmm. Good. And with this, I know, too, a lot of people wondering whether or not they are eligible. And I know you mentioned there's coverage for those 6 months and older. For those that are pregnant, I know this becomes confusing just because some stuff they're told, no, you can't. You're pregnant right now. Stay away. What about the flu vaccination? What's applicable to them in this regard?
Well, and that's a really good question. Yes. And it's actually for pregnant women, it's even more important that they do receive the immunization, because it is a recommendation for women at all stages, and there is no harm. It's an inactivated vaccine, and it certainly is important because pregnant women would be considered to be in that high-risk group of causes of morbidity due to flu. So there's also some evidence, and that I think is important that we look at, too, is that for pregnant women who receive their immunization, because all babies who are under the age of 6 months are not eligible for the flu vaccine because they're too young, but there is evidence to suggest that women who are vaccinated when they're pregnancy do add or give protection to those newborn babies because of that.
No, it's good. Again, you're listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know. Today, we are talking with Dr. Chetri, Medical Health Officer with Sunrise Health Region, also Edith Halleck, Supervisor of Public Health Nursing. Stay tuned. Influenza immunization clinics are coming up, and they are going to be all over the area. People can be watching for posters, I know, around the community with full dates and times. Sunrise also makes an effort to go into those group homes, nursing homes, to do clinics there as well. Well, has the schedule been finalized for Fisher yet?
There's about 100 clinics within the Sunrise Health Region. Mm-hmm. So they will be, they're advertised in some of the local papers. There's a mailer that's going out next week, so everybody will be receiving a mailer to their mailbox. And the information is also available on the Sunrise Health Region website, or they could contact their local public health office.
And pharmacies and, as well, too.
That's right.
Yeah, that can also be done.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, for those again, nervous about getting the immunization for whatever the region, maybe they throw allergies out there as an excuse. I've heard something as like eggs. Someone brings up, well, I maybe should stay away because of that allergy. Shouldn't I just stay away to be safe rather than sorry? At least that's what they claim.
Well, that's right. And allergies, there's always a question that people ask. So eggs is not an issue for the last few years. The egg allergy individuals doesn't have a factor.
Okay.
The vaccine is antibiotic free and latex free.
Okay. What about the fact that vaccines are full of preservatives? People think, shouldn't I be staying away from that sort of thing? Yet here the vaccine has them. So what exactly is in that vaccine? What sort of ingredients are we talking about? And why are they so important to be part of the vaccine?
So this is one of the questions, you know, I got asked so many times from so many people, you know. So just to start with, you know, there are a few of the things in the influenza vaccine would be aluminium and formaldehyde and thimerosal. So let's start with the two of those. You know, so these are the materials that will give us more immunity. By saying that, you know, if the small dose 0.5 ml of influenza vaccine can able to produce antibody and produce protection, is because of them, you know, because they will play a big role on boosting your immune system. So if we don't have that, then we might we're injecting a lot of vaccine, large volume. But just to recap, you know, so aluminium we are talking about is not a heavy metal. We are talking about not even a metal. So this is a salt, aluminium hydroxide. So this is a salt that we eat every day, and we have lots of things in the food. We have lots of things in the medication. So this is very safe to do. And the formaldehyde is that we already have in our body, in all the cells that we have in our body has formaldehyde. So this is also safe. And then thimerosal is one of the things people talk a lot about. They say this is mercury. So this is, yes, mercury, but there are a few types of mercury. One is ethyl mercury, one is methyl mercury. The mercury you are thinking about is more like methyl mercury that in the fish that you can find in the blood pressure machine. That is not that mercury that's been used in the vaccine. This is ethyl mercury, which is eliminated from the body within 7 days of you getting that. So I do not see any problem on those kind of things. This is made for a multivial dose so that you don't get contaminated as you are reusing your vials for multiple doses, right? So, mm-hmm. so that is actually safer to have a thimerosal in multiple doses than not to have those.
And yet if people are completely worried about that sort of thing being in there, I understand something new this year is there's going to be an option for people.
That's right. We do have a small amount of thimerosal-free vaccine for people who actually may have a true thimerosal allergy or whatever, and we can mm-hmm. discuss that.
Oh, great. And lastly, I know, too, I've just people wanting to know showing us the figures and proof that this is actually making a difference and actually contributes to, well, lives being saved as a result of the vaccine being available to people. What have we seen as a result of having the influenza vaccine?
Yeah, so it's well-known studies done in the past, and it actually really shows that it will reduce the number of physician visit, hospitalization, and death in high-risk individuals. You know, and many studies confirm that the influenza vaccine reduces the risk of pneumonia, hospitalization, and death, especially in elderly population, very young children, and those with underlying health conditions. So getting vaccinated is so important for everyone, and it's even more important for those at high risk who are elderly people, children, mm-hmm. and pregnant women with chronic medical conditions.
Once again, it's available to anyone 6 months and older. There's coverage through Saskatchewan Health as well. You don't have to worry about costs associated with this. And Edith, if people do have any further questions, they can forward their questions to who?
They can you can contact the local public health office. They can go through the Sunrise Health Region website, but for sure they can call us over at the Yorkton Public Health Office. That'd be great.
Again, a heads up, with all those posters being scattered around town, we'll tell you where you can go to receive the influenza immunization. Dr. Chetri, great to have you join us on the program. And Edith Halleck, thank you so much as well, stopping by, saying hello, and sharing the word about what's people can expect for this year's influenza immunization campaign.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting us.
It's been all you ever wanted to know. It's the first of many parts to our program today. When we come back, Randy King will be chatting with some of the upcoming speakers at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship banquet. So stay tuned for that on All You Ever Wanted to Know.